I'll just begin by praying. Father God, I just ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless us in the rest of this morning, that you would help me, that your Spirit would speak through me, and that we, Lord God, would be able to be ministered to by you and to receive your word by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're continuing on in Psalm 119. And this week, I'm reading from verse 89 to verse 96. Lamed is the Hebrew letter that we'll be looking at. Really good letter this week. I'll begin by reading. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Okay, I've labeled this talk this week the official highway code. And in doing so, the highway code, as many of you will know who drive their motor vehicles, will know that you have to learn this code pretty well before you can pass your theory test or your driving test. It's there as a guidance to help you drive your car safely on the road, to read the speed signs and the roads and all that kind of stuff. It's also there to protect the people who are on the roads while you're driving, which is a bit more important sometimes, even pedestrians. And so it's very important that we know the highway code, but it's also important, or I hope that I can show how we have a highway code also, that we need to learn and know and be able to use. So this week we're going to move into the letter Lamed. Lamed, or Lamed, I think, is the way I pronounce it. It's a unique letter in the alphabet of the Hebrew alphabet. It's right slap bang in the middle. It is the tallest of the letters, which is the first interesting point. And the second interesting point is that it is viewed by the Israelis or the Jews that it is considered the heart of the alphabet because of its position, but also because of what it means. Second thing I want to tell you about it is that it's said to represent the King of Kings. And this is really, really, really interesting, because the letter that precedes it, which is what Tali did last week, was Kaf. And Kaf represents the throne of God. And the letter coming next week represents the kingdom. And so if you look at this letter in between the two letters that are precede it and are going to follow it, it is the King of Kings on his throne ruling over his kingdom. It's a very it's very interesting when you study the Hebrew language and their alphabet, and you discover all these wonderful, wonderful things. So Lamed, Kaf, and Mem make the word king, and the meaning king, and king is pronounced as Melech. Hours of training. So when viewed this way, and this is just a wee by the way, we see the word king. So it's just whenever you delve into the Hebrew alphabet, you learn so much. Okay, but the meaning I want to look at today is, or the original meaning that many look at is that it's like a staff, a shape. The letter itself is shaped like a staff, and it's a learning stick to prod and to train cattle. If you look at it from that direction. It's a more practical view of the letter, and one that was used to guide and care for the sheep. We see it most in Psalm 23, which I will allude to as we go through a wee bit. And it's the rod and the staff that comfort, that guide and protect us. And this is seen in this part of the psalm I'm looking at. Last week, Taddy looked at the protective hands and how it protects and looks after us. And if you stay and dwell within God's word, that you can be sure that God is always protecting you. So this week we're going to be looking at God's word that teaches us. Lamed means to teach. A heart that needs or wants to understand knowledge. Not just heart knowledge, but a heart knowledge. In Jewish understanding, the word lamed means to teach. A heart that understands knowledge. The aim is to have a teachable and an understanding heart. And we should be learning and studying and taking into our hearts daily God's word. Everyone here should be reading at least, you know, maybe a couple of verses a day, or if you're keen, a chapter or two a day. We should be meditating upon the Lord's word that he has given us in the Bible. And then through that, we should be being taught. You know, that is this is the only book that you really need to be continually reading, to be taught and to understand, to gain a knowledge and wisdom. And through it you will see the grace that's been given to us and the love of Jesus that's talked about in it. Everything that we need to be taught is within the Bible. It's crucial, stable diet that we take this on. Psalm 119. In the first two verses, 89 and 90, make these statements. Your faithfulness endures to all generations, and God's word is sure and steadfast and never changes. This implies God's word is eternal. He is faithful. His word will never fail. Not one part of this word of God has been found to have ever failed, to be a lie, to be deceptive. Those critics, the atheists, everybody that comes against us as Christians cannot disprove the Bible in any way. And that's why for us it's so important that we know it and learn it. It's a real comfort and a real security knowing that the Word of God for us is the very thing that we stand upon. And it is life-changing when you begin to learn it and understand it. The sort of section that I've read today, 89 to 96, whenever I was studying this, brought me back just to the two points I've looked at briefly. The shepherd teaches the sheep. And it's very important because Jesus is seen as our shepherd. We've seen him as a king so far. Now we see him as a shepherd. And the shepherd teaches the sheep. And he uses his rod and his staff. The rod and the staff are used to comfort them. But it's also used to instruct them and to correct them. God's word is our instruction manual. It's our guide to live in this life. It's there to help us. It's also there as a comfort for us, and it's there to lead us and teach us. It is a comfort in times of real distress, trial, and fear. Psalm 23 tells me that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. King David wrote the psalm. He knew very well what it was like to go through the darkest moments in his life, even through the shadow of the valley of death. And the thing about it was, he knew to hold on to God's word. He knew that God's staff would be with him and comforting him. And that God's word is all that we need. And we need to search for it. And we need to cling to it. It's essential for us to meditate upon it. And this psalm, and the part of the psalm I'm looking at, in Lamed, is seen as a sort of learning section of the psalm. You old L-plate learners. It's seen that people were being taught how to understand God's word, being taught what it meant and how to use it appropriately in our lives. By way of practice, error, and correction. This is how we learn anything, by error, practice, and correction. I'm going to give you a couple of funny stories surrounding my driving test, which was the most hilarious test in history, man. Three really tragic things happened in my driving test. When I first went to my test, I was really nervous. Got into my car and the guy was there. When I turned to him and I said, listen, it's very important I pass this test today because I've got a Nova 1.2 Diamond with sports wheels and I'm driving that to Dundee tomorrow. This is a Friday. And he just looked at me. He didn't say anything. So we started off in the test and away we went, right to Newton Arch, around the wee bits and pieces we were doing. Everything was going really, really well. Except for every time he said to turn left or turn right, I put the window wipers on because his car was different to mine. And I knew that that's a minor mark against you. So that was what happened first of all. It was a really hot summer's day. And we'd been down the side road to do the reverse turn and he had his window down. So I was going forward, then backwards and then we're going forward again. And a wasp flew in. I slammed on the brakes, did an emergency stop, got out of the car. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm not going any further in this test when there's a wasp in that car. So he had to stop, got the wasp out, back in the car. Great. Did the reverse, and away we went. Then we're going down the main road in Newton Ards, and would you not believe this, but a car accident happened straight in front of me. And I slammed on the brakes, put on the things, and all that. And I said, what am I going to do now? There's an accident. I'm never going to pass this test. He says, I cannot advise you, Mr. Mooney, what you should do. And I'm thinking. So I start thinking back on my highway safety code and all, trying to recall, recall, recall. Put on those emergency things, first of all, the flashing lights, just to stop so that people behind me knew. Then I stopped looking in my mirror and took those off and indicated, and all the cars are piling up, and I drove off nice and calmly and looking at him thinking, I'm never going to drive this car. And went off. And the thing about it was, at the end of the test, he said to me, I am going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you're going to be able to drive your car to Dundee tomorrow. He said, given everything that happened in this test, he said, nobody should have to go through that. And I said, thank you very much. I promise you, I will never get a speeding ticket. And off I went. But the point of that story is this, that I was still a learner until I passed that test. And I had a book that I had to learn with, which was the highway code. And I had to recall what happened in the highway code for me to continue passing that test. And if I hadn't have known the code, then I would have known what to do, and therefore I would have failed definitely on that point of that test. So it's important that we begin to understand, not just read the Word of God, but we need to begin to understand it and apply it. That's what Taddy talked about. God sending his Son to the earth. Jesus was man and God, fully man and fully God, that he dwelt amongst men, and that he became flesh, and that he said that the Word became flesh. And it was very important because it leads into what I'm saying this week. Not only did Jesus come just as a man, but he came as the Word, and he came to tell us of God. He came to declare who he was and who God is. Jesus came not just to sort of walk around the earth, but he came to tell us and teach us about God as Father. He came to tell us of our sin. He came to tell us what we had to be saved from. Man doesn't know what he needs to be saved from until he's told what it is that he needs to be saved from. And so he came to save the people from their sin, and he came to show love. He came to teach, and he came to tell the commandments of God, and he came to tell everything that we need to know that's contained in the Word of God today for us. And Jesus said this, take my yoke and learn from me. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the yoke that they put on the people was a burden that they made them keep every T letter of the law. And they couldn't do it, and it was a burden to them. And Jesus said, take my yoke, learn from me. My yoke is light. Learning from Jesus is the only way that we should be learning. So Jesus came to teach how to love God and how to love his Word. He came to show us and to teach us how to love God, how to love him, how to embrace him, and how to let Jesus into our hearts, how to let Jesus teach us. Every believer should be fixing our eyes on Jesus and looking to draw our guidance and our knowledge and our wisdom from him. You should be looking to draw it from Keith Mooney, because you're not going to get any wisdom from me. You're not going to get much knowledge from me. I just declare what it is that Jesus can do. Jesus is our teacher, and we learn from him and him alone. Now, there's no point in you knowing your Bible and reciting your Bible and being able to remember every single verse of John or whatever it is, and not being able to put it into practice, or not being able to use it. You know, it's as silly as reading instructions and not knowing how to put something together. You need to learn how to do it, understand it, and then use it. And to do this, we must come to Jesus with a humble heart. We must submit ourselves to him in every part of our life. We can't hold anything back. If you want to really learn from Jesus and be taught by him, you've got to lay everything before him, come to him humbly, not full of pride, and seeking Jesus to teach us. It's so important this morning that is the condition that our hearts are in. We need to have humble hearts before we can really learn from him. Okay, verse 92 says this, unless your law was my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. Unless your law was my delight, I would have then have perished in my affliction. How can we claim, if you want to use the Christian sayings. How can we claim this statement? We can only know this or claim this by learning God's word, by knowing it. We need to love it. We need to have it in our lives. We need to depend upon it. We need to learn from Jesus, who is the Word became flesh. We need to cling to his word and to his ways. When we're facing trials, when we're being hit with the difficult times, when the wall's up against you, it's the word of Jesus that we need to have ingrained or engraved on our hearts. It's the word of God that we need to be able to recall when we're hitting the crisis, whenever we're in the darkest days. Just like my car test, I had to recall the code to continue on. I had to apply what it said and use it wisely. This is what the psalmist is saying when he says, I delight in your law, as it saved him when an affliction came. So when the dark days are upon you, you may well have a verse that you know. It might even be a song that has truths in it that you know. And you recall that when you're in the darkest moments. I know that I recall Psalm 23 all the time. Especially even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they guide me. I'm depending upon God's promises, upon his word, to be with me, to be my guide, and to lead me through those difficult times. So we've got so far to learn to love God's word. It's crucial. We've got to learn to trust God's word, what he says, and applying it in the situation. We've got to learn to depend on God's word, that he's not going to let us down, that his word is not going to fail. Remember at the start we said God's word, it never fails. So we've got to believe that. And then we've got to learn to respond on God's word. This is crucial. So whenever you're loving God's word, you're hitting the difficult time of the situation or a loved one sick or whatever, you're learning to trust in God's word. Lord, I know what your word says in this situation. I'm going to believe this. You're depending upon it. And then whenever the outcome comes, whatever it be, you're going to go and respond to it and say, Lord, your word has set me free, or your word has delivered me, or your word has been the staff that I've needed, and it's been what I've depended upon. You always respond back, giving God the glory and the praise for the situation that results. This week, and the last few weeks, I have to say, I've had situations where I've said, the Lord, I don't know what's going to happen this week. I don't know how it's going to pan out. I know I need X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to trust on this. And of course, everything always has turned out okay. And then it goes on to say this. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. The word of God is life to all who believe in it and who put their trust in Jesus. Jesus is the only life giver. He opened your eyes once you put your trust in him and you believe in him and have faith in Jesus to the scriptures, and they become abundantly clear to you, and in that you have life. And Jesus says, and I will give you life more abundantly. You begin to develop and learn. You begin to take on Jesus' knowledge, and his wisdom is departed to you, and you're beginning to grow. But much more than this, the life that we have has been given to us at a great cost. We know that Jesus purchased our life by his blood. We know the great price, the great cost that he paid. And therefore, we belong to him. And therefore, in this bit of the psalm, we can boldly come and say, I am yours, Jesus. I am yours. I belong to you. I am yours, verse 94. Save me from the difficulty that I'm in. I am yours. I've been purchased by you. You own me. Save me. Do not let this happen to me, or bring me out of this, or see me through it, or bring your staff and let it comfort me, or the word that I've been reading and taking into my heart is my strength. So we're depending upon the word of God first and foremost, and of course the word being Jesus in the flesh. So we've got all that to depend on. We know what it is that we have to do. We know what it is we have to study and how we have to apply it. So far we've learnt in this letter the King of Kings. And we can look at that as being Jesus. We've got the Shepherd King. We can look at Jesus in Psalm 23 as the Shepherd who has guided us with his rod and his staff. We have got God who teaches us through his word. The word becoming flesh, the word becoming Jesus. Jesus who teaches us the way to God and all that we understand and see in the Bible. And then we've got God's word becomes our staff of comfort.
So in everything we're able to draw from his word the comfort that we need, that he leads us, and through the darkest of times we're able to call to our shepherd king to guide us. He is the good shepherd and we are his sheep, and he will not let any of us go astray. He will not let any of us come into real harm, because he is going to be guiding us and protecting us. So God's word is perfect and eternal. It is our own highway code to guiding us in this life, to protecting us, to keeping us out of danger. We learn to love Jesus, our teacher. Gotta love our teacher. And in Jesus, we are being made perfect. We're not perfect yet. We're never going to be perfect this side of heaven. But we know that God's word is perfect. We know that we're meditating on it, and we're wanting to use it and have it in our life. Therefore, we're being made more perfect. We want to be like Jesus. We want to learn from the perfect teacher, and he is showing us how to do that. And every circumstance that we come into as Christians, and if you're meditating on the word and you know your Bible and you're going through the trials and the difficulties, God is using those things to shape you and to mold you and to make you more perfect, more of the person that he needs you to be. The training isn't the perfect training camp when you go in and you have a set thing to do. You do this and you become more perfect. That is not how Jesus and God's word works. He works it through everyday situations and circumstances, and by going through those difficulties and trials that address you, you're able to learn and respond to God's word and use it to bring you through it. And it's how I believe we're being taught all the time. And to sort of come to an end here, I want you to think personally about a verse that you may have that you use to comfort you, a song that you may have that you recite, that you've been through the difficult times and you've been thinking of a particular piece of scripture. And I'll share with you what mine is, and I've already told you mine is the part of Psalm 23 verse 4. Because when I went to BB up on Tipperpatrick, which I hated, one of the worst bits of my entire life, when I went to BB, they taught me a catechism. A catechism was something you had to learn every week. And I learned Psalm 23 in the short period that I lived up there. And I can remember in the situations that I had to encounter, so many times, not even a Christian, reciting that verse. Lord, help me. Strengthen me. Be my guide through this darkest moment and through the difficult time I'm enduring. Lord, please be with me. I was able to recite God's word and know it. Even before I was a Christian, I was reciting Psalm 23, verse 4. And it stayed with me all this time. And I still use it. It's a promise that I hold to. I would encourage you all to have a verse or a piece of scripture that you hold on tightly to and recite it. I'm not going to use the Christian cliches to say claiming it, because I don't really say that, but you can show God what it is, tell God what it is, and show him the scripture. And I know God's not stupid, and he already knows, but when you're telling him and you're recalling it, it's like you're reinforcing it into yourself. God, you're never going to let me down. You know, your word never fails, and you're my perfect hope. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you today for your word, for what it has said to me personally and to us as a church, that your ways are perfect, Lord, that your word is perfect, that what you teach us, Lord, is perfect. Help us, Lord, to be people that really want to meditate upon your word and take it into our hearts, not just to be listeners of it, Lord, but to be doers of it, to be practical with the word of God, being able to use it in situations. And being able, Lord, to give people all the comfort from the word that we have. Lord, we just bless you this morning. Thank you for everything that you're doing for us. And be with us all as we go forward in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.